Will democracy survive the next couple of years?
Access to Democracy is made possible by donations from the following organizations. Thomson Reuters, a global company with expertise and insight to unravel complex situations in the areas of law, tax, compliance, government, and media. Their worldwide network of journalists and editors keep customers up to speed on relevant global events. Thomson Reuters, the answer company. Crutchfield Dermatology, a full-service treatment center and medi-spa in Eagan. Their goal is to help you look good and feel great with beautiful skin. With service built around courtesy, dignity, and respect, Mayo-trained Dr. Charles Crutchfield personally treats each patient and is acknowledged as one of the nation's best physicians. TrueStone Financial, with locations in Minnesota and Wisconsin, has proudly served its members since 1939. TrueStone engages, educates, and supports its members to ensure they have the tools to empower their financial well-being. TrueStone Financial, your neighborhood credit union. Learn more at TrueStone.org. Edina Eye Physicians and Surgeons, a division of Twin Cities Eye Consultants, has proudly served the Twin Cities for more than 55 years now in 7 convenient locations. Using the most advanced technology combined with human touch, Edina Eye offers comprehensive services and dedicated specialists committed to excellence with innovative procedures and expertise for the most advanced eye care.
Welcome. Access to Democracy returns. And we have a return guest. He hasn't been with us for a couple of years. A young man who, when I first met him, had a full head of brown hair and no mustache. And now he's turned into a wizened little old man, Anthony Andler of Jaime's Haberdashery.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Hey, welcome.
Did you see what the clothing business will do to you?
Yeah.
Now, they give you gray hair.
Anthony is really an example of sartorial excellence. And we first met him probably 15 years ago. Is it when you had the leather goods store?
Yeah. It was when I had the Mercantile, which was an art store. And that's where I started my leather crafting there. We're still doing leather crafting.
In downtown St. Paul. Well, I see some of your crafting work hanging right behind you. What looks like a rifle case and looks like a, and we'll talk about some of the handbags and other things that you do. And the store is Jaime's Haberdashery, and it's located in St. Paul. It has become really the place where politicians and athletes in particular, find choice clothing, and you have a barber, or at least you had a barber before the pandemic hit. And talk about what has happened, because you were just on the verge of expanding in all directions. You started with this little leather goods store, and you became larger and larger and larger. You have the barber. You were going into a women's department. You were breaking down walls. You were the cornerstone of business in St. Paul, and then St. Paul died. So let's bring us up to date, Anthony.
Yeah, I mean, we essentially are a retailer in a desert. You know, things were going really good for us prior to the COVID-19. We were shut down March 13th of last year, and we had just expanded. We just put in $350,000 worth of new square footage to the store, and had a new tailor shop, and expanded a lifestyle area. We have a gun library and fly fishing room. We had a billiards room and a radio station going. And all of that, we had to take a closer look at financially what we could afford moving forward. and we consolidated some of our assets, and were able to survive for 12 months. So
now it couldn't have been easy, especially with the store closed down completely. How long were you closed down completely?
12 months. And our doors are still locked in the front because of vagrancy and trouble downtown.
Yep. St. Paul has had a lot of criminal problems and vagrancy and homelessness as a result of the pandemic. Interesting, you closed down the 13th of March, and here we are on the 12th of March. So you've been down a year.
I would do a balloon drop for you, but I forgot to get the balloons ready.
You did a lot of other things with the business. You had jazz concerts there. You are an entrepreneur of unique talent. And I can only hope that you're going to be able to come back soon and restore everything to the way it was.
I tell you what's interesting about what has happened. Instead of giving in to the gloom and doom, we found a new way to reach our audience, to reach a younger audience, age 25 to 35 year olds, who were tuning into our social media feeds, and we're producing movie shorts, parodies, and we're doing a Friday Live from the Haberdasher's Couch variety show that airs every Friday on Instagram. And we got 2,000 plus followers that watch our show. We're doing interviews with restaurant owners and other business people and to get their message out. And we're creating content for the store. So we're actually making money off of Instagram.
So you've become my competition.
No, I got a lot more, many more years and a lot to learn. So, it was interesting that we had to bring everything online. We had to figure out if people weren't coming into the store, how do we bring the store to them? And so we revamped our website, set it up as a purchasing site so that you can buy stuff online now. We added new product to that site so that audience driven, hats and jackets and shoes and everything you could think of. You could buy it from our store online, obviously, because there was no retail happening. And then we started making face masks. We started I always say that if you can make things, you can always stay in business. If you're able to control your distribution and sell directly to the consumer with a handcrafted item, we started making face masks when nobody was making face masks at first. We managed to raise over $30,000 doing that. And then we kind of revamped our manufacturing facility down in the basement, our leather shop, and started making wholesale goods for catalog companies. And so we have two nice accounts that we're able to now, instead of them invoicing me, I get to invoice them. So I'm getting paid.
So that's working in the basement, the leather shop?
Yep. Yeah, the leather is, because a lot of people are ordering stuff online, these catalog companies like J. Peterman picked us up, and Faribault Woolen Mills picked us up to produce their goods for them. And so, we just shipped out 115 pieces yesterday. We had an order for another 100 the week before. And so, again, making things, doing the alterations and tailoring, making leather products, making face masks, revamping your website, doing social media, anything and everything you can to survive, we did it.
And what's happening now in downtown St. Paul? Last time we were there, it was like a ghost town. And as you know, we used to going to theater there and restaurants, et cetera.
And it's devastating that the theaters are closed. The St. Paul Hill Hotel is better than less than half capacity. All the restaurants have been closed. I'm it. I mean, I'm the, we kept our lights on from 10 to 5 for, four,
you are
for 12
Saint
months
Paul.
Now. And that's
you,
it. That's,
you and the mayor, and that's it.
I had to change the light bulb once. It burnt out once, but I screwed a new one in yesterday. So, so now we're back in business again.
It's, well, you also do quite a handbag business.
Right.
So
that's the leather. Yeah, the leather crafting. Yep.
Has
yep.
that continued?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we, I tell you what, it's actually probably been the best year we've had with the handbags because, again, when you can control distribution, when you can control the product and sell directly to the consumer, it's a great product to put online, right? Type in handbag, type in a messenger bag, type in pistol case, gun case, and our names come up and they buy it online. They don't have to go anywhere. So it works out good.
But as you said, you're an oasis in a desert, though. Is St. Paul making plans to come back? I mean, we are now at a point where people are getting vaccinated and we're starting to open up to some degree. What do you see? Are you in touch
well,
with
I haven't,
the people?
I haven't gotten
there?
The memo yet. I haven't gotten the memo yet, but I know that there's a slight uptick in business, people walking through the door, planning weddings again. We are making custom suits, so that's helped us out a lot. But as far as the city is concerned, there's a lot of cleaning up that has to happen. There's the streets need to be cleaned. The people need to be helped. Vagrancy needs to go down. Panhandling needs to go down. Other businesses need to open up, which will help some of that. I still have a broken window that I have to have fixed that got smashed last year. So I don't want to scare anybody away from downtown because it's quite, yeah, I could go out in the middle of the street right now and sing a beautiful song and nobody would care. And usually they do. And
well,
so
that's better than the ex-president who said he could be shot and nobody would be convicted of it.
I don't want to go there. Who was that guy? What was his name?
We don't use his name on this show.
So, yeah, no, I, you know, look, I think that I use the word courageous a lot, and to find the courage to persevere in today's world will probably get you through, you know. And my staff has been absolutely phenomenal in their steadfastness.
I was just going to say you've been able
business
to keep your people working also, which has got to be a big thing.
Yeah, my job was not to worry about anything other than trying to keep people employed, because if we can keep the ship moving forward, even if it's slow, and we don't have everybody abandon ship, we can right the ship a lot sooner, a lot quicker by taking care of people. And that's exactly what we did, is we took care of people. We made sure they had jobs. We made sure they could pay their mortgages and pay for their cars and eat. And we persevered.
And how's your relationship with Mayor Melvin Carter?
I never shook his hand. He's never been in the store. I don't have a relationship with him. I know he has an office about two blocks down, but I haven't seen him.
It's amazing that with everything that's gone on and the devastation that he hasn't gotten around to you.
Yeah, I don't know how to describe it. I'm not going to pretend either, because pretending is just a fool's game, you know. I'm going to tell it like it is. It's been rough. St. Paul's a microcosm economy. It's based on events. It's based on theater, restaurants. It's based on people going to these office towers. Travelers is still closed down. Ecolab is still closed down. All the office towers have absolutely nobody in them. The parking ramps have 10 cars in them.
The legislature is basically working long distance from home also. So
right.
that for yeah, the nobody's most part, from Capitol Hill. They're not there either, all those thousands of employees.
Nope. I feel like sometimes I'm inside of a country song. You know, when the dog gets lost and the wife leaves you and the truck breaks down, it's kind of, we're kind of like in a country song right now.
Well, we can start, you know, the Jaime Woes.
Was it, there's a tear in my beer? I don't know.
So let's bring people up to date. You haven't been with us in a couple of years now. How did the name Jaime's come about, and how did we settle in St. Paul?
Well, there was a little Jew, Russian Jew, born in 1889, and his name is Jaime, right? And so he came to America with his dad after tailoring for over 200 years. And they loaded up the sewing machine on the back of an ox cart and made it to America. It's the immigrant story. And they were what they call collective clothiers. So they were castaway clothiers. They would take castaway clothing, resew it, recondition it, resell it. And that's how they learned how to be merchants. So those Jewish immigrants brought a trade and craft with them. They were only really allowed to work certain occupations. And so what they decided to do was, if they were going to have any kind of social status, was to bring the art of tailoring to America and set up shop in downtown St. Paul, which had a fairly decent Jewish community here in Minnesota that really helped those immigrants come in and establish themselves. So Jaime was my great-grandfather's first name.
And he established the store?
Yeah, they weren't heavy retailers like I am. They were tailors. Slowly after World War II, realized that there was some value to ready-made clothing. And so they started purchasing, buying clothing, and then tailoring or altering the clothes.
But yours is a really interesting story, because you were a leather artisan and you really fashioned leather products. That's right. When we first met you 15 years ago. And you went from that to build really this booming business, which unfortunately is victimized by the pandemic, but hopefully will come back. But how did you go from leather crafting to where you are today?
So I didn't make it as an actor. I got paid $50 to be an actor. And so I decided, what's the next best thing? Well, become a rag man, right? A haberdasher. And I set up my first retail store just down the hall from where we're at now, and sold and represented local artisans, and sold their product, and they benefited, I benefited. And then I ended up saying, hey, I can make money doing this. And I already knew how to sew. And I grew up underneath my grandpa's tailoring bench. And I said, I'm gonna go back in the suit business so I can make some money. And that's what I did.
And you went from that, though, into high-end clothing, really.
Right.
You brought in stuff imported.
Right.
I have a Harris Tweed jacket that's from Jaime's, and some really top end stuff.
Right.
And you were really, really doing well and expanding and getting ready to open a women's department.
Right. Small department store is what we were aiming at, you know, is Jaime's department store. I mean, we really have it all, had it all, from cigars to shaves to women's custom clothing, to men's custom clothing, to leather bag manufacturing business, a radio station. I'm trying everything, Alan. I'm trying everything.
That's really what differentiates you from so many others who just really folded, who didn't try, who just gave up.
I could have done
boarded
that.
Boarded up their stores, yeah. And they're still boarded up today.
And I could have done not, that.
I could have done it. That's not in your personality.
No, it's not. I thought about that. I thought about it, but there was a lot more writing on this than just giving up. I mean, it involved my family and my home, and then all the people that work for me, families and homes. That's the reason I'm here. I'm here for that. I love the business, but it just so happens that business is interconnected to my health and well-being.
Well, the St. Paul Fire Department is wearing uniforms that were tailored by Jaime's.
Yeah, we did the Honor Guard uniforms 10 years ago now. I worked with Keith Golden, the captain of Ladder 18. And we actually used Faribault woolen mill to supply us with the wool that was actually vintage 22-ounce wool from the 1800s. And they used to fight fires with those uniforms. And so we did some Honor Guard uniforms for them. It was great. Good project.
And I know you also had a lot of customers who came in when the Minnesota Wild moved into what was the former Macy's building, which they refurbished. So,
you know, the inner
around.
Well, the interweaving of people, judges, lawyers, doctors, politicians, door greeters, I don't care, waitresses. It's a small community, downtown community that we're interwoven and dependent upon one another. And so we did get sports figures and people that came in from Hollywood that were making movies that came in and saw us and bought a hat, musicians, Grammy Award winning musicians. And we had the gamut. I don't care if you were just getting married or celebrating a Grammy Award. We were Jaime's Haberdashery on the corner. We are Jaime's Haberdashery on the corner.
And well-known beyond just St. Paul. Now, let's look down the road. The women's department, is that going to be able to come back?
Yeah, I just started doing ladies' custom again. And I actually put in some springtime leather goods and blouses for ladies. And so I'm slowly going to build that program into the store. I have to watch my cash.
Yeah, I can understand. What about the barbershop? What happened to the
barbershop? We were only allowed to do 25% capacity. And so we had three barbers who are still cutting that do it on a 3-hour rotating basis. So we don't have anybody congregating in the barbershop. We stopped doing shaves. We're just doing haircuts because you got to wear a mask. And we're seeing a slight uptick in some of those services.
But you have this whole new presence online that you never had before. You right. expanded it, I mean, to the point where obviously you picked up some new clients. What right. about the people who you were buying from? What's happened to some of the people that you were buying your material from, your suits, your jackets?
Yeah. We lost 10 or 12 manufacturers that were family owned that had to go out of business because the retailers were their showrooms. And when they lost their showrooms, they lost the orders. When they lost the orders, they lost the business. And then I went from 180 plus vendors. I'm down to 25.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty shocking.
Crazy.
Is my grandfather still there and doing well?
He is. We have morning coffee together and he gives me advice.
People don't know what we're talking about, but
it's a nice picture of your grandfather.
My grandfather and my grandmother and yep. I had these pictures yep. and they fit in the decor of the store, which is really the old time mm-hmm. haberdashery store. So they're both in the store someplace.
Yeah, they are. They're in the barbershop.
every time I would stop in, I would say hello to my grandparents, who I never met until right. I saw them in Jaime's. But it's good that you're having coffee with him in the mornings now.
I'm hoping to see you sometime in the store, back in the store. You look good.
We're certainly hoping to be there.
You said I look great. I mean, you and I could be twins. I mean, you're probably the better looking part of our family. But look at us. We're
You don't want to be the twin of me because you're still a kid.
Yeah.
I have shoes.
But you're the brains. You're the brains in the family.
I have shoes older than you. I really do. I have shoes that are older than you. And how's your family doing?
Yeah, good. My daughter's 10 and going on 16, and she's in ballet. And the school thing was really hard on her. Being away from her friends was really hard on her. But she came to the haberdashery, and I made her clean the glass cases and fold clothes and press clothes. If she's gonna not be at school, she's gonna work. No, I wasn't that bad on her. I wasn't that hard on her.
You're liable to be brought up on child labor charges. You know that.
I filed the proper paperwork.
But under the circumstances, right. Understandable. What do you see down the road? Here we are a year later. And
well, if there was a mirage at the end of the road, it would be filled with beautiful tailored suits, people enjoying themselves outside, smoking a cigar. The mirage would include a cosmopolitan landscape of people laughing and eating again. The mirage would also have the fact that we could have live entertainment and come back into the store, see a cabaret and stage show, and be human. That's the mirage.
And I think that that's not really out of the question.
No.
It's going to be slow building that up, building it back.
Look at how far we've come in 5 weeks. We've come in.
No, I think your point about cleaning up downtown St. Paul is really important. And they've got to get the crime down, which has been a real problem, and the homelessness, and deal with that so that the downtown would become as attractive as it was. And all what were our favorite restaurants reopen, or new ones to take their place.
I think all the other stuff existed before, but it was in our peripheral. I think that we always had vacancy and crime. I think we always had things going down alongside of our businesses that we didn't ever see. But because there's nobody around, there's no people, you're more likely to see it, the ugliness.
That's probably true. Yeah. And we've been talking with Anthony Andler, the proprietor of Jaime's Haberdashery in St. Paul, a unique establishment, and really a credit to you as to how you have weathered the storm for this last year. And Anthony, I can't wait until we get a chance to see you in person once again.
Right.
And I get a chance to get one of your very expensive shirts.
Oh, make sure you tune in on every Friday now into our Instagram and see the Haberdasher's Couch.
We'll do that.
All right, tune in.
Thank you, Anthony.
Yeah, thanks for having me.